Blog Talk Radio.
Bless the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. He's worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Shout glory. But we're here to magnify the Lord, to make him bigger, make him larger than anything that's going on. He is worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Let's put your hands together. Hallelujah.
Today, we're getting ready
to bring you some excited topics, something that we believe that is needed at this day and this hour. We have been, for the several weeks, we have been talking about a disgusting child abuse, and we are almost at a climax on that, but we hope that our radio audience have been truly blessed. And before we get ready to go into our discussions again, you can call a neighbor, call a friend, tell them that the Crossroad broadcast is on the air and that they need to tune in. Today we're going to be talking about domestic violence and abuse. We started that on last week. We're going to be speaking and talking about intermittent explosive disorder and child abuse. I'd like to give you that number for domestic violence. If you know that you've been violated, if you've been abused, you can call 1-800-799-7233. And that number for if you know of a child that's been abused in any kind of way, we want you to be able to call 1-800-962-2873. We would like to take the privilege and it's an honor to introduce to you our panelists on the Crossroad broadcast, and they are as following: Dr. Rosa Mary Lucio, Dr. Gloria Castor, and yours truly, Dr. Mary Smith McCoy. And we're getting ready to go before the Most High God. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, we praise you, we magnify your name, we lift your name up high, we give you all of the glory, all of the honor, all of the praises. And Lord, we just thank you for the opportunity to speak for you on today. We thank you, God, to be able, God, to educate, God, to be able to make wise, and God, to bring the illumination of your word as well as being a vessel for your glory, for your honor, and being able to expose the things that are happening here today, those things that are happening here in the United States of America and on foreign soil. And yes, Lord God, we ask that God, every person, God, in the name of Jesus, that are experiencing child abuse, Lord God, we pray even now that you will touch. We pray, God, that you will cause that person, God, to be healed in the name of Jesus, that they get the correct counseling, God, and God, that you heal every inner woman, every inner feeling that they are experiencing. And Father God, even those with the anger, Lord, look upon them even now. And God, listen to the Lord, look upon, Father God, even now, Lord God, those that are going to be identifying with some things that they're going through, God, with anger and with domestic violence. Father, we just thank you, Lord God, for all that you have done and all you're going to do, Lord God, according to your word. Again, we just want to thank our radio audience for tuning in today on the Crossroad broadcast. On last week, we started our discussion on domestic violence and abuse, and also we talked about the signs of abuse and abusive relationships. And we want you to know today that it is vital, it is important that we do what we are doing. Do you not know that domestic violence and abuse, it can happen to anyone, regardless of their size, regardless of their gender or their strength. And yet there is a many times it is overlooked and excuses are made and people do deny what is happening. Even those that are being abused, they deny what is happening to them. So here we see that emotional abuse is often minimized, and yet it can leave a deep and a lasting scar. And these are some of the things that we talked about on last week, how that we must not minimize abuse. We must not minimize whether or not even it's emotional abuse, because it can have that everlasting effect. It can have that deep leave a deep scar and an everlasting scar upon that person and the inner meaning on their psychological mind and their the things that they are dealing with. They can be affected with it. So therefore, we're saying to you today, let it be your last day of being abused. Let it be your last day of someone taking advantage of you. Let it be your last day that you're going through domestic violence and abuse, because we want to show you, we want to give you some of the signs of what is happening in relationship. We want to show you how you are being violated, and sometimes you don't want to even admit that you are being violated, but you are. So therefore, we want to let you know, to acknowledge what is happening. We want to show you that there are some warning signs and symptoms of domestic violence and abuse. And the first step is to end it. The first step of doing something about it is to end it. As we are telling you today, let it be the last day that you are being abused. No one should live in fear of a person they love. Nobody should live in fear of a person that they are married, of a person they're in relationship with, because of the fact that they love that person so much. So you're taking what they're doing to you because you do it in the name of love. But I want you to know today that you must look at this realistically, and you must know what is happening in your life, and you know you have to know that you are not someone to be battered or abused. You're not someone that someone should be taking advantage of you. So therefore, if you recognize yourself as someone that you know who have been abused, we need you to do something about it. Why don't you call 1-800-799-7233. Again, that number is 1-800-799-7233. And get some help. And also, we want you to know that domestic abuse is also known as spousal abuse, and it occurs when one person is in an intimate relationship or marriage that tries to, the other person is trying to dominate or control the other person. Is this you? Are you going through this? Is somebody trying to dominate or to control you? Domestic abuse, that it also includes physical violence, which is called domestic violence. Domestic violence and abuse are used for one purpose only, and it is to gain and maintain total control over you. An abuser doesn't play fair. We said that on last week. A person that's abusing you, they do not play fair. Abusers use fear, guilt, shame, and intimidation to wear the person down and to get them under their thumb. The abuser may also threaten that person, and they may even hurt that person or hurt those who are around them. Domestic violence and abuse does not discriminate. It doesn't matter whether you're rich or you're poor, whether you're black or whether you're white. It does not discriminate. It happens among heterosexual couples, and also it happens for those that have the same sex partner. This is something that we are not condoning, but yet I'm saying that you need to recognize when you are being abused. Also, it occurs within all ages, no matter what the age is, no matter the ethical background, of the economical level, as we've said before, it does not matter. The abuse is abuse. And while women are more commonly victimized, men are also abused, especially verbally and emotionally. Have you seen a man that's being abused by a woman? They're not using some kind of that physical strength, but the words that they're saying, the things that they're trying to manipulate, trying to cause them to feel less than. You're nobody. You can't support me. You can't do anything. The neighbor next door can do a better job than you. My father did a better job than you did. What are the use? Why are you still here? So many things that they may do. Abuse them for sexually, not doing what they're supposed to do as being a wife. They abuse them, not giving them giving them as a wife should, that affection and love, withholding things from them, doing things that will criticize them. This is abuse. Although sometimes even physical abuse, sometimes they may, a woman may inevitably try to physical abuse a man also, or vice versa. The bottom line is that abusive behavior is never, you must remember this, that abusive behavior is never accepted, whether it's coming from a man or coming from a woman, coming from a teenager or older adult. It is never, never acceptable. You deserve to be valued. You must know that you are somebody. You deserve to be valued. You deserve to be respected, and you deserve to feel safe. Recognizing abuse is the first step to getting help. If you do not know that you are being abused, many times you're not going to get that help. Sometimes you may think that because you love this person so much that you don't want them to go to jail, and you'll continue to let them abuse you. But this is not the way that the Heavenly Father plans for you to be abused. Sometimes domestic abuse, it escalates from threats, from that verbal threats to violence. So you don't want to stay in a situation wherein that you're being verbally abused. You need to get some help. You need to get a Christian counselor. You need to get someone to be able to pray with you, to be able to help you through some guidelines, to be able to get you some help in order to keep you from being continually being abused. And there are other helps that you can get some assistance as well. So whether it's the secular, whether it's Christian counsel, whatever it may be, whether or not it's the authorities, you need to get some help. So here we see while physical injuries may not be the most obvious danger, but the emotional and the psychological consequence of domestic abuse are also severe. No, they may not. Do things to you to harm you, and maybe they may twist your arm, or they may do things in order to give you a black eye. They may hit you in the mouth. That hurts. That's your body. You need not to have to go through things of that sore. They may hit you in the chest, or they may take their knees and hit you in the abdominal area. No, this is not something physically that need to be done. And then they work on your mind. This is something that you need to get from under. You need some help, and they need some help. You need some help because you're there, and you're continually taking what is being given out. And you should not have to live in a abusive situation as you're living in. Don't forget, know that you can get some help. Call the National Domestic Violence Hotline. Again, that number is 1-800-799-7233. 7-3-3, which means safe. Okay, emotionally abused relationship can destroy your self-worth. It can make you feel less than. It destroys your self-worth. It can lead to anxiety and depression, and it makes you feel helpless and alone. No one should have to endure this kind of pain. And I can assure you that anybody going through those symptoms, those physical abuse, psychological abuse, emotional abuse, they are in pain. And your first step is to getting some help. First step is to break free and to recognize that your situation is abusive, that you are in an abusive situation. Once you can acknowledge the reality of the abuse, then you can get the help that you need. I am going today to give you a few signs of abuse, and I want you to be able to deal with it. I want you to be able to recognize it if it happened to you. And then we're going to have to go on. But we want you to, each week on Monday, we want you to call someone. There are millions of people. There are many people that are going through situations that they need some help. And we can get you to spread the word. And we can get you to tell somebody else what is happening. It will very well save someone's life. Listen, if there are many signs of abusive relationship, and the most telltale sign is fear of your partner. If you're afraid of a person that you're living with, or you're afraid of a person that you may be dating or seeing, you must know that there are most likely this is an abusive partner, and that you need to get away and you need to get some help. If you feel like you have to walk on an eggshell around your partner, you can't say anything, you can't do anything, you can't go a certain part of the house, you can't buy certain things, you can't drive the car when you want to, you can't say certain things. You are in an abusive situation. And then I'm just going to leave two more with you, then we're going to pick it up on next week. You can constantly be watched. They're continuing to watch you everywhere you go. They're trying to find out where you're going. They're following you around the house. They're picking up the phone when you're on the phone. So therefore, if they're doing this, chances are you are in an unhealthy and abusive relationship. And the other signs that you may be in an abusive relationship, including a partner which belittle you, now try to control you. If a man or woman try to belittle you or try to make you or control you, you need to know that you are in an abusive relationship. Well, this has been Dr. Mary McCoy, and I want you to please to tune in on next week, and we're going to continue to talk about domestic abuse. That number again, 1-800-799-7233. We're getting ready to introduce our next panelist, and our next panelist is none other than Dr. Rosa Mary Lucio, and she's going to talk about the intermittent explosive disorder. So we'd like to welcome her to the Crossroads broadcast.
Thank you, Dr. Mary McCoy. Thank you for giving me another opportunity to speak on some new topics today. I will be addressing anger disorder, emotional disorder, intermittent explosive disorder. The Word of God says, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all." Psalms 34:19. So many of our children in society are so angry, they are very angry. Some are angry for no reason. They don't have any reasons to be angry at all. Some are hoping that their attitude of being angry or being defiant and sometimes being hostile will give them a persona amongst their peers, such as I'm the bad one or I'm the cool one. On the other hand, there are children who are exhibiting, who are demonstrating a violent attitude. They are exhibiting or demonstrating extreme anger, extreme hostility, and extreme defiance because of hurt, neglect, and many other childhood traumas and abuse. These children have built around them walls of protection. When a child or a teenager when they are angry, they feel as if they have been wronged, and they feel that someone has taken advantage of them without their consent. The child or teenager want to get back, and their first priority in their crisis, in their dilemma, is to strike back. And what they are saying to themselves, I'm going to get you. I don't care if I have to get you, or maybe I have to get others for what you have done to me. So anger in a child or a teenager is about striking back. They retaliate. They pay back others in injury or death. They rebel. They refuse any type of allegiance. They are not loyal to anyone. They even go against authority. These children, these young children and teenagers, they even plot and plan. They plan schemes and devices of harm and even death to others. They say it's an eye for an eye and evil for evil. So hostility in a child or teenager is a sense of defense. And these children are waiting for an attack from their attackers. And what they are waiting for is things like verbal abuse, emotional abuse, physical abuse with trauma, and especially sexual abuse. So these children these young children and teenagers, they don't trust anyone. So what they have built is a defense mechanism of walls and barriers that protects them. And they are ready, and sometimes they are armed for the attackers. So a lot of times we see children that are enraged, and they have attitude problems. They're full of rage, so they have a defense mechanism. These children and teenagers are ready, and they will fight. And some of these children, what the child is demonstrating, and the teenager is demonstrating. Animosity. We see animosity in the children and the young teenagers, such as bitterness and hostility. We see open enmity. We see open hatred in the children. We see ill will in the children because they are striking back and they have all this hostility in them. They have unfriendly feelings. They are very unfriendly. Sometimes they may not know how to forgive. A lot of times they do not demonstrate forgiveness and love. And what they do, they live in hate, and they live for hate, and they live for revenge. And they have an active attitude of hatred. So these children that have this defensive mechanism up, they have an everyday language of like, they better not mess with me, they better not bother with me, or they don't know who I am, or they better recognize. And a lot of them may say or will say, I will cut them with my knife or switchblades. And a lot of children carry weapons on them. They are so angry, these children at such a young age, that they are so angry that they will even use a weapon that will inflict wounds that sometimes may maim or kill other individuals. So their attitude is hostility, and hostility that is co-partner with their anger, and anger is their action, brings about and stirs up violent and extreme anger disorder in these young children and teenagers. Hostility and anger leads to various kinds and types of disorders in our children and in our young teenagers. Anger disorder symptoms are they frequent angering, and they have strong resentment towards others. They are mean and hateful. They have mean and hateful talking when they get upset. They question rules and authority. They are very touchy, and they are annoyed by others, and they also may suffer from bipolar. The children and teenagers who have been abused may display poor self-image. They sexually act out with themselves. They sexually act out with others, and also they sexually act out with animals. These children have an inability to trust or love others. They are very self-destructive. They are self-abusive. They have behavior problems, like they act out in school or act out in public. And these behavior problems also comes with suicidal thoughts. And they also, their behavior fight problems, they fight. And they don't fight like normal children. They fight viciously. These young children and teenagers with this anger and rage problem, they suffer with and they are plagued with anxiety and fears. They have flashbacks and nightmares. They also have problems in schools. They fail in school. Or any adventure they may encounter, and sometimes they may never succeed. Also, these children have emotional, and teenagers have emotional disorder. And this emotional disorder can and will result in emotional numbness. A person that has been abused as a child or a teenager may disconnect from that abuse, and they will put that abuse on its shelf like it never happened to them. And they come and they become to themselves to feel that, well, how they feel is they feel hopeless, they feel helpless about their present situation and about their coming future. These children and teenagers, they are in emotional denial. They may even suffer from PTSD with flashbacks. Some of these children have memory loss and concentration. A lot of these children and teenagers with rage and hate and hostility and anger problems shows little or no emotional feelings, and sometimes they may become in our society as sociopaths or psychopaths. Also, our children go through intermittent explosive disorder. And this is a repeated episode of aggression, violent behavior, in which a child or teenager reacts, or an adult reacts grossly out of proportion to the situation. And this may occur in such as an adult exhibits road rage, workplace violence, or domestic abuse. A child abuse or a teenager abuse may exhibit or show angry outbursts, temper tantrum, and breaking objects or other material. So most people with intermittent explosive disorder, most of them grew up in families where explosive behavior and verbal and physical abuse were common. It was the norm to them. A child being exposed to this type of violence at an early age makes it more likely for these children to exhibit the same traits as they mature. And the traits that they may exhibit is sexual battery, sexual assaults of others, sexual molestation of others, they bully others, they harm others violently. They are rapists, murderers, and sexual predators. What they see is what they want, and what they see is what they normally get by any means necessary. So we have children and young children and teenagers full of hate and malicious malice and anger and rage. And these children are portraying this, these type of disorder in even in their own personality temperament, and they think that the world owes them everything. Do we have angry children in our society? The answer is yes. Do all children have an abusive background or history? The answer is no. There is help for our angry members of society, whether they are young children with temper tantrums, teenagers with outbursts of violence, or violent rage. The answer to such rage is and disorder is God, God's love and healing. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, and I'll read it quickly, "There have no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it." And so 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, there is a way out, and God has made a way to escape through Christian counseling, that we may be able to land intact on the other side. Some children are angry with rage because they want to be accepted with the wrong people, with the wrong peer group, and also they have peer pressure going against them. Some children may even think it's cute to have all these type of disorder because some of them want to be a macho man and some girls want to be a young diva. Some children are just victims that need godly help, so that they can live a productive and wholesome life. In turn, they will be able to help others. Deuteronomy 7:15 says quickly, I got it right here, that we serve the Lord thy God, and he healeth us, and he will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt, which we know is upon us, but will lay them upon all them that hate us. And we know that the assignment and effects of emotional disorder, intermittent explosive disorder, and anger order, rage, hate, and hostility has been canceled by Jesus Christ. Thank you, and back to you, Dr. McCoy.
Thank you, Dr. Rosemary Lucio, for giving us insight, to showing us, parents, you may be a parent, you may be a husband, you may be a wife, you may be a teenager, but you need to know what is happening to you, and you need to know that there is help. Yes, you may identify some of those themes that Dr. Rosemary Lucio was speaking on today: anger disorder, teen rage, intermittent explosive disorder, so that you can identify. You're saying, what is happening to me? Why can't I control? Why I cannot control this rage? Why I'm so angry? She has carefully given you some of the themes and many of the themes that are happening in your life. Yes, tune in next Monday at 5 p.m. Again, tell someone that the Crossroad Broadcast is broadcasting something that they need to hear. If it's not for them, there is for someone else that they may know, that you can let them know that they no longer have to go consistently through the things that they're going through. At this time, we're like kind of privileged to be able to introduce to our broadcasting, to our radio audience today, Dr. Gloria Castor. She's been consistently talking about child abuse and emotional abuse and so many things that she has been given over the air that I hope that and pray that you have taken hold, that you were able to grasp, you were able to tell somebody else about make a difference. And if you are being abused by a parent, by a neighbor, by a friend, by an uncle, by a anyone, please call 1-800-962-2873. At this time, we're going to introduce to you Reverend Dr. Gloria Astor.
Dr. Coy, I am so grateful that I am have been allotted the opportunity to be on here today. I'm going to finish up with my child abuse part with preventing child abuse and neglect, and what is prevention and why is it important, and what is child abuse prevention. I want to first start off with Psalms 91, because so much now, you know, even if a parent has not accepted Christ, your protection lies in him. And so I just want to just give a little advice to, when you're in Christ, many things that you would desire to do, he'll give you the heart, and he'll turn you around from things that you have been doing or desired to do, and he'll keep you with the strength to overcome those desires to do it. And so I want to read a little bit of Psalms 91, and then I'll touch here and there on a couple of scriptures out of Psalms 91, and then I'll go to end up with Hebrew 13 and 5. And Psalms 91 is considered safety of abiding in the presence of God. And the first scripture says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And there's nothing like being under the protection of God. So it says, in the shadow of the Almighty God. Almighty God has all of our answers. He has our resource, and he has all of our needs. But today, as I talk on preventing child abuse and neglect, as I have said in my scriptures before, Jesus loved. You know, when the children sing the song, Jesus loved me, this I know, and Jesus loved the little children. He loves children. Children are the fruit of our womb. Children are the fruit of a man's glory, comes out of a man's glory. It is a fruit that God has given to us, and we are to love children as God loves us. And God loves us more than we could ever even imagine, because he sent his son Jesus to die for us. So preventing child abuse and neglect, resources on child abuse prevention, protecting children from risk of abuse and strengthening families, include information on supporting families, protective factors, public awareness, community activities, setting up different organizations in your community that will educate people, that will help them to come over that spirit that has caused them to be abusive the way that they are, because that is not the spirit of God. It's the spirit of the enemy. So we need to set up educational places that we can teach people and educate them on child abuse. And it also is positive parenting, having parenting classes that can help parents to overcome and to better understand and to maybe refer them to places that could causes them to lash out with child abuse. And then, like I said, preventive programs and more. Understanding child abuse prevention and what to do when children are at risk includes frequently asked questions and links of related federal and national organizations and state contacts that work to prevent child abuse. And as you see each week, Dr. McCoy reads these places, give you information on these places that you can go to that can help you and that can have the resources that are needed to help you overcome. Prevention is the best hope for reducing child abuse and neglect and improving the lives of children and family. Prevention is what's going to help you overcome what has taken control of you and caused you to do that child abuse. Strengthening family and preventing child abuse requires a shared commitment of individuals and organizations in every community. We need to set up these places in community that will help people to overcome the desire that they have to over, you know, for child abuse, whether it's sexually or physically or mentally. We need to set up education for that. The following resources that are discussed in the framework of child abuse and neglect prevention and provided information on what to do when children are at risk of abuse and neglect is a link to the state and federal and national organizations that support preventive initiatives. Now, why is prevention, what is prevention and why is it important? With respect of human services, prevention typically consists of methods or activities that seek to reduce or deter specific and predictable problems, protect the current state of well-being, or promote desires to overcome those behaviors. Now, what is child abuse prevention? The term prevention is typically used to represent activities that stop an action or behavior. It can also be used to represent activities that promote a positive action or behavior. Research has found that successful child abuse intervention must both reduce risk factors and promote protective factors to ensure the well-being of children and families. Protective factors are conditions in families and communities that, when presented, increase the health and well-being of children and families. They are attributes that serve as buffers, helping parents who might otherwise be at risk of abusing their children to find resources. Supports or coping strategies that allow them to parent effectively, even under stress. I want to give you a couple of places that you can go to prevent child abuse, and the data and statistics shows that more than 740,000 children and youth are treated in their hospital emergency room department as a result of violence each year. That's a big, that's got to be cut down. And the only way to do that is put preventive programs in place that we can help the parent or children, because sometimes children abuse parents too, so they can help either way to prevent this. When we look at it, as a result of the violence each year, that's more than 84 every hour. That's a lot. The total lifetime cost of children maltreatment is $144 billion each year, more than 3 million reports. Excuse me. Now, when you see child abuse or when you see abuse going on, most of the time the people feel like, well, I don't want to get involved. Not getting involved can cost the life of someone. They have toll-free lines that you can call, and you won't even have to give your name. But you do need to report child abuse. You do need to report it, because if you don't stop, it could cost the life of somebody, or a child or an adult. And Centers for Disease and Control and Prevention, which is the CDC department, there's a number for that, and that's in Atlanta, Georgia. And Dr. McCoy probably have already given you this number. I just want to reiterate on this number, and that's 800-232-4636. And the operating hours are from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., Monday through Friday, and they're closed on holidays. You want to make sure that you tap into that and make sure that you the good citizen that you are, and the one that know that they might can save a life by reporting anything that they see that is unusual with a child. If they have black and blue marks on them, and sometimes children can get hurt on their own. So you can't say if they got black and blue marks or a little knot that a parent is abusing the child. But if you see this frequently going on, there's something wrong. And you need to report that. I want to end up with reading Psalms 91 and a couple of the scriptures out of Psalms 91, because so much we need the protection of God, not just the ones who are being the abusers, but the ones who turn away and turn their back on those that are being abused. If you know that God is your refuge, he's your strength, he will protect you, you will do what's right to do for the child, for the parent, and for yourself. Because if you don't report it, then somebody else miss it. You might be too late to save a life. So you have to make sure that you call and make sure that you report it, even if you don't give your name. I want to read a couple of the scriptures here that it lets us zero in to what God has really said. Psalms 91 and 4 says, "He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you should take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and your buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day. You shall not be afraid." God has already given you his protection. He already said that he will protect you. So if we go to Psalms 91 and 14, it says that because he, that means you, has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, and because he has known my name, because you know the name of the Lord, I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with long life, and I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. The key point to doing the right thing is making sure that you don't be the cause of somebody not reporting and turning your back on child abuse or on any kind of abuse. You become the person that be the one with the preventive, because you have reported and you have taken your time out to make the phone call and to call. And now I just want to read you Hebrews 13. It said, "Let your conduct be with." I don't want to read that part. I'm sorry. I just want to read the last part. Hebrews 13, the last part. He said, "For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." The one that's being abused, remember, God has not forsaken you. You go down in prayer and you ask God for deliverance and guidance, and then you report it to someone. If you're being abused and if you report it to someone and they act like they're not hearing it, report it to someone else. Keep reporting until somebody catches and know that you're being abused. And the one that will report the abuser, just remember, God is with you because you're doing the right thing. God bless you. Back to Dr. McCoy.
Thank you, Dr. Gloria Castor, for sharing with us on today. We just so blessed, and we should feel like God cares so much about us, because he does. And yes, God is concerned about every individual, whether they're an infant, whether they are a child, teenager, young adult, an adult, male or female, black or white, red, yellow, no matter who you may be. You need to know that God is concerned about you. And because God is concerned about you, because God loves you, it is God's will that we do what we are doing. And as the professional Christian counselors, we're here for you. So you can call in any time on Mondays, or if there's a Monday, if you have any questions, we would love to hear from you from your comments. You can call, you are welcome to call 805-243-1363. Again, that number is 805-243-1363. We'd like to just thank God because it is so much that we wanted to talk to you and speak to you today. Yes, we can't do it all in one setting, but yes, we want you to tune in and call and tell others about what's happening on the Crossroad broadcast. Today, we were able to speak to you about domestic violence and abuse and those signs, and we weren't able to go through everything, but that's why it is it's vital that you tune in on next Monday. And we also were able to tell you about anger disorder and teen rage and intermittent explosive disorder that was so beautifully done by Dr. Rosa Mary Lucio. And then such a broad topic on child abuse. Dr. Gloria Castor, she has been also have done an excellent job with giving you information that you can use so that you can see the signs that you can know whether or not there's abuse in your home or at school or as a sitter or whoever may be participating in the abuse. We want you to know that there is help. And I want you to know that all of your help comes from the Lord God Almighty. But God has given people such as the Christian counselors, He has given people as the school teachers and those that are that for the 911 number that you call in case of emergency, such as domestic line that you can call for emergency, the National Domestic Violence Hotline that you can call, which I've given it before, which is 1-800-799-7233, that you can call in if you're having some domestic issues. And that child abuse number, Dr. Castor is giving you one number that you can call, that number as well as 1-800-962-2873. We're getting ready to go before the throne of grace. We would like to take the opportunity to thank Dr. Rosa Mary Lucio, Dr. Gloria Castor for being on the Crossroad broadcast from week to week, and we want you to know that we are praying for you and that we're going to be lifting you up before Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, we praise you. Lord, we just thank you for the opportunity to serve. We thank you for the opportunity to be able to come before this vast audience, this radio audience from city to city, state to state, and those without beyond the United States of America. God, that they'll know, God, that you care for them, that you love them. God, that they'll know, God, the signs of domestic violence, that they'll know, God, when they're going, when they're being abused, when their anger and when they're experiencing anger disorder, they don't know what's going on the inside of them. But, Lord, we pray even now that, Lord God, that you would touch them, that you would make a difference in their lives. God, whether they're an adult or a teen, whatever they may be, God, I pray even now that you would touch them. I bind every force of the enemy, every work of Satan, every satanic force, every work of darkness, Lord God, that we're trying to come against, Father God, the those that are in domestic violence, those that have the anger, rage, and also for child abuse. Lord, we pray have your way. Cover them under blood. Bless them, Father God, from the crown of their head to the sole of their feet. God, give them that inner healing, God, that they need, God, even now. And Father, for this, we will glorify your name. God, we will praise your name for all that you have done and all, God, that you're going to do according to your word. I want to say to you, there are many out there that are not saved, do not know Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. The word of God said, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God has raised up from the dead, the word of God said that you shall be saved. So if you are one of those persons that are involved in domestic violence and you're not saved, I want you to know that Jesus wants to save you, he wants to deliver you, and he wants to make you free. So this has been the Crossroad Broadcast with Dr. Mary Smith McCoy. Please tune in on next Monday with the broadcast panel. Until then, may God bless and keep you, is our prayer.